Somebody thought it was.
I could have called the order. All right. All the councils here except Dave, Willeen, and our city attorney, Jason Moran, and our city engineer, Jason Femright.
Of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Is it to approve the agenda?
Make a motion, we approve the agenda, but I'd like to reverse the liquor license approvals and the Cedar Circle assessment formula.
So make the liquor license approvals number 3 and Cedar Circle number 4?
Correct.
Motion on the table, it'll need a second.
I'll second.
Need to vote on it?
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it.
Do you want to take this, Tracy, or do you want me to?
Well, you can take this one. I have my recommendation.
Mr. Mayor and City Council, for your consideration here tonight are a number of liquor license recommendations. We have a new license before you here tonight. The name of the establishment is called Classics LLC. Essentially what that means is it's incorporated as a limited liability company, which is a good thing. It will be located at 125 South 3rd Street here in Waterville. They're requesting an on-sale license, an off-sale license, and a Sunday 2 a.m. license. And all of those are offered under your ordinance. So that's Classics LLC. There was a background check conducted on that particular establishment. There are no disqualifiers that were noted.
Is the building complete? I mean, the renovation or whatever done?
That I do not know.
The renovation would be contingent on it because they would have to go through inspections from liquor control before they could obtain their license. So.
Can we be heard on that?
I think we're just going to make a motion to...
Are we doing all three of these? Sorry. Are we doing all three of these as a grouping? Or are we doing separate?
I was suggesting taking them one at a time.
Okay.
Because one is an on-sale, the other is an off-sale, and then you've got another on-sale.
Okay. So my understanding is this one essentially is going to be taking the place of, or we're not adding any additional licenses here.
I would need to defer over the to past few years. Adding an on sale.
No, so this would, we recently had the Funky Monkey. That mm-hmm. one, of course, lost its license because it was burnt down. So mm-hmm. this would be the replacement for the Funky Monkeys.
Okay. All right.
Substitution
of our So we need a motion to vote on this?
Yeah, we're going to need a motion as to whether we're going to do this or not. Do we have any other discussion on that?
Any other discussion?
Do they know how long it's going to take to get it open?
How long will it take to get it open?
Attorney Tom Krause wants to be here on behalf of Nancy and Danny Hall, who are the owners of the property, and Nancy is the one who's going to be responsible for the liquor license. This is Kitty Corner right across the street over here. They're going to be working on doing renovation work for probably the next 5 to 6 months is the estimated part on that. It's a large building. They're going to put a lot of neat classic cars in there. That will be a nice showcase type of thing. And then maybe you want to give them a little bit of an idea about what you all got going on there.
Sure. Well, Nancy's going to be doing the bar. I'm in the little carts. So it's going to have the backs, both two bars in there. Both the back bars will be one of the 1922 Ford truck and one will be a 1952 Panhead. So it's going to be all old car related things. We're remodeling the whole inside with all new windows up top. We're making quite an investment in it, so it's going to take 5 to 6 months before we're ready to open up.
Therefore, I want to make sure that the liquor license is locked in for them before they put the extensive money work into remodeling it. They want to make sure that they don't get caught short, so that's why we're here. That answer your question?
Yeah. Does the liquor license cost start when it's approved?
So the liquor license is when it's issued.
Yeah, we have no problem with paying for it even during the remodeling time. It would be money well spent.
No proration?
No pro rata, no.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody else have any other questions about it? Okay, thank you for your consideration.
I think we should vote on it.
I'll make a motion that we approve this as long as we're not adding extra competition over what we've had in the past. I'll make a motion we approve this.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
The next license for your consideration is an off-sale license for Arnold Corporation, doing business as Arnold's Good Spirits. The location would be 101 North Highway 13, Suite 1, the old Liquors building. This particular location just recently had a license, so we're not adding anything. That question came up on the other license.
Mm-hmm.
We're not adding anything on this particular license. I believe the applicants are here today to address any questions you might have, and I think that we have one person that would like to speak as well.
I'm Andy Arnold, Janesville. My wife and Sarah and I, we own a off-sale in Janesville right now. Looking to expand into Waterville. Excited to see what opportunities Waterville has for us and what we can do for Waterville. Any questions I can answer for you?
There was a background check completed, and there were no disqualifiers. The applicant does already hold a license in another town, so all the background came back clean.
Do you want to entertain?
We do have somebody that wants to speak.
Sure. So thank you. First of all, Jason, are we a statutory city?
You're a statutory city.
Okay. Well, you approved that license right now. According to this, the statute is 2022. They recommend 4 licenses for a city of this size.
That's for on sale, not all.
Well, we have. But that, are you on sale?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me say that. But anyways.
Off sale licenses, there is no restriction.
Okay.
The council can set a cap.
Yeah.
Waterville does not have a cap on your off sale license. Mm-hmm. For on sale licenses, you are capped at 4. That cap can be lifted. But right now for on sale, we're capped at 4. Off sale, we're not capped. Now, we can pass an ordinance, and we likely will pass an ordinance capping the number of off sales.
Mm-hmm.
But as it sits here tonight, there is no cap. And as it sits here tonight, this license would simply be replacing what was there just a few months ago.
I would like to address the council, though. How this license was created in the first place. Back in 2016, when this was passed, this was done in one night.
Which license are we referring to?
This is the off-sale license that was owned by Pete Street, Axel over there.
Right.
I was never invited to the meeting. I would have came here, obviously, and fought for my business. I've been at this 27 years almost now. Every person that I've talked to said that no city's ever done that. They know I've approved something in one night, but they
what they always do is they call the other, they table it for a month, call the other owners, have them come in, and so they can debate it. So I don't feel this license is created legitimately. We already have, this will be four off sale in this town, but basically 700 people for, that's too many. I mean, Montgomery has one, the center has one. All these towns around here, you know, Waseca has, I think, four, but they have 12,000 people. Janesville has one. I just feel like we need our license. That's my feeling about it. We already have, you know, and all this is going to do is divide up the pie more and hurt the existing businesses that are here, and also just hurt the chance of selling these businesses. So, like I said, I've done this for 27 years almost, and I think I've worked hard and done a good job. Nothing against these folks here, they're nice people, but I just don't think we need their off sale on top. That's my feeling. I would have felt better if back when this was created, if I had been invited to the meeting, had a chance to voice my opinion. I never did. So I think now is a chance for city council to rectify a situation where I feel like I was really wrong. So, thank you.
To start with, the council does put out public agendas and whatnot, so there are notices put up for every meeting. I don't recall ever having specifically invited anyone to a meeting for something like this. I'm not downplaying any of this, but I also don't recall us ever pushing off a liquor license or not approving one in a night after it's been,
There is no law on it, but I'm just going by what other cities have done. And like I said, every salesperson I've dealt with, all the third companies have all said the same thing, that no one does that. I just don't think it was the right decision on the council's part. And now's a chance to rectify it. Like I said, creating another license, you know, it makes, all it does is defies the pie up more. And it's already here, I realize, but a city can deny a license for any reason they want. Why look up? We already have you know, four now. I mean,
unfortunately, Jeff, we can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, I very much respect you, and I've done legal work for you.
Yeah.
I 100% get where you're coming from, but in terms of the law on this, the law is we have to have a reason to deny it.
Okay.
We can't just deny it. Mm-hmm. The legal standard is our decision here tonight can't be arbitrary. It can't be capricious. And what that means is we have to have some sort of a justification to deny it. And if the applicant has passed the background check and has a liquor license in another town and is in good standing with the state, and if we don't have a cap here, then I'm not doing my diligence to the city by allowing it to get sued and lose that lawsuit.
Okay.
And I 100% respect you, and I don't know what more to say about it. Yeah. But
I mean, this is a very tough business to be in. I don't think you realize how tough it is, and especially in a town this size, when you have this many. I mean, I'm all for competition, but on this size, that's just too many. It just cannibalizes each other, and that's just my feeling about it as far as.
And the city does need to look at a cap. Unfortunately, that's not going to help you tonight.
No.
But the city does need to look at a cap.
Well, I respect the city's decision. Whoever they, I respect it, so.
We appreciate your input.
Okay.
And the fact that you've done what you've done for the city, that's not at question here. It's just a case of, like Jason says, we really have to have a legal reason to not, unfortunately. That being said, I'd make a motion that we approve this off sale.
I second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Your Honor and Council.
The third liquor license for your consideration is Dylan's Double D's Bar. They're operating as an LLC, again, a very good thing. Located out of 118 3rd Street South, they're requesting an on-sale license as well as an off-sale license and a Sunday license. They, too, completed a background check. They have passed, and I don't believe that this is adding any license either.
Can I make one slight correction, though? So it's a liquor license transfer from Dylan's Double D to DT's Salon LLC.
Okay, that's not referenced here on the paper. So.
Yeah, so it was a transfer.
In essence, it is just a transfer then.
Yeah.
They already have a liquor license.
Dylan's does, and they're transferring their license to DT's because the liquor license is still valid at that location. And they did pass the background check.
Have they closed on the sale yet?
It would be pending the sale. They have to show ownership of the property before we can send it up.
I'll make a motion. We approve the liquor license transfer from Dylan's Double D's to DT's Saloon pending the transfer of ownership.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thanks, Jeff. We're on to the Safer Circle assessment formula.
Who would like to start that?
It's in time, right?
Are you sure? Yeah, for sure.
He just got nominated.
All right. Good evening, everybody. This is, we're here to speak about the Cedar Circle improvements and how to, we feel is appropriate to levy those assessments. This project has taken on, we've been working on it for a couple of years. Just a little bit of background, back in July of 2022, we bid this project, and at that time put together the assessment roll based on the parcels that existed out there at that time, and based on the bids that were received, and in reviewing that, it was approximately about $36,000 per parcel at that time. It was chosen by the council to not move forward with awarding that project. And we did not move forward with the final assessment hearing at that point. So essentially that project died, and we're like, well, let's review, potentially let's bid this project again and revisit this the next year. So we dusted off the plans, didn't really change anything from the original plans, and rebid the project. And those bids were received here at City Hall on May 31st, and we received five bids. The low bid for that was VCM Construction in the amount of $543,819. That includes Cedar Circle and Herbert Street, so that doesn't really, isn't necessarily apples to apples as far as the bid amounts, but what we did is we had those separated within the bids. We can pull out Cedar Circle versus the Herbert Street drainage. So just a little bit of an update that we did receive those bids, and BCM was the low bidder, slightly what were about 3% above the engineer's estimate that I had on that. So what I've done is taken the original assessment roll that we had and the original parcels that we had, which were about 14 lots out there that had benefit for street and site, 10 lots for sanitary sewer, and then 13 lots for the water main. And I just dropped those numbers into that same assessment spreadsheet that we had developed just over a year ago. So those numbers then were, I have that. I can turn this on. Since that time, there's been a couple of changes to some of the properties that are out there. There's been a couple of lots have been combined and are different than when we originally did this. Specifically, the David Schwartz property to the north, on the north side, right here. So this was the original kind of layout when we did the feasibility report showing the lots that are out there. since this time, this lot line, he's combined these two properties into one. And then another one down here is this property. This line was vacated and those two were combined into one. So, like I mentioned before, we had 14 lots from a surface standpoint, 10 lots from sanitary, and 13 lots from water main. Now, if we were to relook at this based on the combined lots, and we just looked at a lot or lot basis, we're down to 12 lots for street, 9 lots for sanitary, and 12 lots for water main. If we were to just look at it based on a lot-by-lot basis. So that's obviously less pieces of the pie to break up if we were to just look at things that way. But that's, you know, I don't know that that makes any sense in this instance. And what we are here to do is to try and talk about what makes sense and what's fair and equitable to break up these pieces of the pie. So I did pass out in front of you kind of that draft final assessment roll with those numbers as it existed the original time, with the 14 assessable units, 10 for the street, the 10 for the sanitary sewer, and 13 for the water main. And the storm, I followed the storm right along with the street, which is a relatively small amount. So if we were to do that, you can see the total assessment for each one of those parcels, if we were to look at things that way, is roughly $44,000 if they received sanitary, water main, and street.
Jason, do you have a thing that you can project up there?
Mm-hmm. I sure do.
That way the audience can see it.
Can you get copies of those from last year?
Probably from last year?
Yeah. Compare last year, official what you're doing, but have a copy in front of us. Because it's hard to read from back there.
Okay. So when did you say that those lots were combined? Before the assessment? Before the project started or after?
They were after we started this process through the when we did the feasibility report back in 21.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In 2021, that's how those lots existed. Since we started this, then they've combined.
I know that first lot on the Geyer's lots, he gets his sewer and water from Herbert Street, and his property, that he couldn't combine those two lots.
Right. Yep. This one here.
Yeah,
yep.
So he's getting assessed just because he's on the along that edge. You know, when he gets everything from
Herbert Street and water, we had called out there.
Yeah, and he's got his water comes from Herbert too.
Again, I mean, I'm up for splitting this up however anybody wants to split it up.
This is the original.
The original is the 36. Yeah, that's the original one. Yeah. Again, that was never finalized. It was just a draft. Yeah. So here's this cost here, this $560,000, that's all of the costs, including engineering, the survey, all of that work, and the bid numbers. City cost participation, since this is, you know, new improvements, it's 100% assessed. And this is how those break down based on a per parcel, per assessable unit basis. And so, again, just looking at things the way they were prior to, you know, as this project started, you can see about $17,000, $13,000, $12,000, and $11,000 to about $44,000 per parcel as this project started.
So that other lot on the southeast corner that was combined, which one of those is that up there?
That is this CMM of LBK LLC.
So there's three?
There was three, yep.
Well, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but I will. there is absolutely no way that we can assess those costs to these properties. I mean, it's just, it's not mathematically feasible. It's not financially feasible. From a legal standpoint, there is absolutely no way that... What's driving this project? Is there a reason why we're considering this?
Because it's a small island. You can't put anything else in there.
And we've got a developer who's wanting to develop?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, if we have infrastructure that is usable and in relatively good shape, how old is the street?
It's just a gravel road.
Oh, okay.
It's not so much the street. There's literally a 1-2-inch water main in there. There is no sanitary sewer in there.
How old is that?
Well, there is sanitary sewer.
Oh, there is.
Yeah, it just doesn't extend to everything. How old is the 2-inch? Well, the 2-inch.
It's in the 80s.
The 80s, and yeah, that's not sized for, a 2-inch isn't adequate for more than like, I'd say, one multifamily unit.
Are any of the property owners petitioning to have this done? So,
I don't really,
the sole reason why we're looking at this project is because we have a developer who wants to develop some land and needs the upsizing. Assuming these guys are fine with a gravel road and the developer needs a paved road, unless I'm missing something.
Well, I think it was brought back up because we originally talked about having it rebid the following year, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That was what we had originally talked about when we booted it the first time. We talked about having it rebid.
Sure.
So I think that's where we're at right now. But the new developer has come in and said, I'd like to develop. Correct?
Yeah. So part of this was when years back there was a request to construct on one of the properties, and when we looked at the water in there, it was not feasible to service the existing lots that were there. So it was only granted to have one more stub in or one more access to the water because of the lack of fire control and adequacy. So when we had an individual interested in building in the area, we figured it was time to come and take a look at it again because it's the services and the infrastructure in there isn't adequate for the buildable lots. So we figured we would dust off that conversation and come back and take a look to see if it, what it would do now and to see what was available.
So this developer that wants to come in there, my understanding is going to be a multi-unit type facility, townhomes, or I'm not sure what all is going in, but.
So the developer has started the process of doing a planned unit development in that area. The original concept, whether or not that will be the end concept or not, was basically 5 twin homes or 10 dwelling units within the parcels of ownership.
And how, when you redid this bid, Jason, mm-hmm. how did you adjust for that in the assessments? Because we're going to have essentially 10 units back there.
Yeah, at this point I have not. I've just looked at them as on just as a per lot basis. So like it's shown here, we were anticipating three properties. Now it's two, but yep. I mean I could certainly break that into other pieces of the pie if we feel like there's more should be put on said developer because of the amount of units, not parcels, but the amount of units. You know, right now I've been looking at on a parcel basis.
Right.
Typically what we would see in a situation like this where you have a developer who comes to town and wants to develop some land but needs increased infrastructure,
mm-hmm.
needs water, needs sewer, wants a blacktop road, you would typically then engage in some cost sharing analysis to essentially lessen the burden on the property owners out there to accommodate for his development.
Right.
And the developer is here. I don't know what the appetite for that is, but honestly, that's going to be the driving force.
I assume that. Jason, I didn't talk until you. I assume it's okay for me to talk now. I'm going to wait my turn. But
can you stand up and give your name, please?
Yeah, my name is Mike Mooney, and the three lots shown on there, I own right now. And Jason, the good news is, I think you went to the online website to get these lines, maybe, because there really is three lots. I think they haven't finished the work of splitting it back, but I think the city approved. I bought that one lower lot, and then I came to the council and asked the council to split it into two, which you agreed
we
to
did.
Do.
We did.
And then I took that to the county at Teresa's request, and the county, I think, is sitting on that and hasn't put it into the computer yet. But my understanding is it really is three lots, not two, so that helps your equation a little bit.
It does.
Well, there's three on this.
Can I speak on that? When I bought that property, it was three lots. And now it says only two on the state sites. So I'm not sure what he's saying about what the lots were and so forth. Because I brought
this is the Beacon site. Yeah, this is the one that it was like this, and now they've been combined into one. So.
Well, it was one, and then it became two, and then it's back to one again.
I think. Purposes of tonight's discussion, you're okay with having it treated as three?
Yeah, I think it has been for over a year now since the council approved it, and I think
that's
how it's filed at the county.
You do have it as three in the roll.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So
yeah, that's how you did it last year.
Actually, this number then won't change.
No.
No, but he initially said it was going to go down.
Gotcha.
And I'm saying that I don't think
if we were to look at Beacon and how these lots are combined, how the roll is here is how we originally had it: three lots for Mr. Mooney, and those two lots up here on the north, because these were two here.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, and it doesn't help this equation, but another, just to follow up on what he said, this is the gentleman that bought the house next door that used to be on what you referred to as the old Miller house. That used to be one lot, and because of me, that's now two. So he has a lot, and I have one now, so that helped the equation over the last couple of years. Doesn't solve the problem, but
It
added one more lot to the number in here.
Was originally designed that way anyway.
Yep.
You know,
with 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here nor there, it was designed as a development with 17 lots. There's three lots in the middle there, too.
Yep.
And if you go to Beacon, and you look, you hit report down on the bottom, it'll tell you three lots combined, two lots, whatever.
It'll actually show you how.
Right. You know, and therefore, you know, no matter how it is, like he just said, he just converted, you know, the two lots into the three and all that.
Right.
Everything should be divided up by the 17 minimum. Okay, now he's talking about putting more units in the corner. Okay, he's putting 10 units in. He should absorb 10 right off the get-go. And I'm Rick Meyer, by the way. Okay. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I think in order to do that, though, we would have to consider those three lots, you know, basically 10 occupancies. And now we're going by number of occupancies and not number of lots.
That's what my legal people are telling me. But this is complicated, and I think your question to me is, do I think it's a good idea to sit down and try and figure this out and share costs? Yeah, I do. Do I have the answer right now? No. And to what Teresa said, all I have right now is a piece of paper. I don't know how many units this is or isn't or whatever.
How many services should we plan to put on this street?
Well,
how many are you going to use? Because we're planning that
and
right now.
And I don't know that right now.
So
I know what I'd like.
How many
we can't continue.
Well, 10 is what I put on paper, but I don't even know if that fits. And actually, Jason nothing personal, but he's complicating my life right now because Bolton was doing all the work on this.
Well, I don't mean to complicate anything. I don't mean to complicate your life, but to be quite frank, you're putting these people through a tremendous amount of stress. Yeah. We just hit them with a $30,000-$45,000 bill that some of them weren't expecting times three or four. And I'm not coming down on you, but you're the driver of this, so you better sharpen the pencil.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. That I don't agree with that because these three lots, anything that's built on them needs new water.
Yeah, we're beyond
the current water does not address anything for any of these lots.
Those are nickels holding up a dime. How many units are you looking at putting out there?
I don't know.
Okay, because that's what is going to determine these guys' assessment in part. And that'll have a huge impact as to whether this number is 40,000 or maybe it's 25. I don't know.
I understand that.
But I can tell you that there is no way that we can assess any of these residents.
I agree with you.
Okay.
But it's also the case that this didn't all happen because I came in and said, hey, maybe we can build some townhomes here. This was, anytime you're going to build on those three lots, you got to figure out where the water's going to come from. And it doesn't have to come from Cedar Circle. It can't come from another direction.
It may be undeveloped for 100 years.
Well, not if somebody bought it and built something.
Is going to be developed.
Maybe.
Well, right.
I got to get an engineer to say that it'll work. And I don't have that yet.
Well, it'll work. The question is, how much is it going to cost?
Okay. And that's what you're saying is, can we negotiate? And what I already said twice is sure, but probably not right this minute.
You mentioned the idea of services being able to be brought in from a different direction, but I believe Jason looked at that real hard the last time too, where all we could be bringing services in from.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of options to bringing service. I mean, we could just bring in drilling a line to Mr. Moody's on whatever size he needs.
We talked about that last year.
Yeah, and that is definitely an option. The sewer has some challenges, right? I mean, the sewer that's out there, we televised that has some challenges. That's why we're looking at doing this.
Right.
And then we looked at the opportunity with this project is to put a new 6-inch all the way around this that does provide, you know, fire flow capabilities and adequate service to everybody out there versus the one straw that's out there, right? So, I mean, we're looking at this as an opportunity. But again, at 44,000, it doesn't seem like that good of an opportunity. It looks like this is just going to hit us in the pocketbook.
That's a lot of money.
Right.
Yep.
But if, you know, Mr. Mooney wants to just develop this, he could look at getting water in there just specifically for his property.
Yeah, I think there's two directions we can come from.
Yep.
It would be better if we could figure out how to do Cedar Circle, but there are other options.
Will the existing sewer line out there support the extra?
Well, we should do some improvements to that line, whether it's lining it or whatever. We're looking at this as an opportunity to, you know, improve an existing sewer line that has some challenges.
Right. I guess, what I'm saying is if we were to just say, fine, we're going to punch a water supply line into him, will that existing sewer line out there handle the extra demand on it?
Do we need to increase the size? Do we need to upsize?
No.
We don't?
No. It's just the condition of it is not great. But, and again, that was to the north here. I mean, this was what we were going to be redoing. So just a little update. The sewer, again, it's been some time, I understand, exists. This is all existing sewer.
Okay.
And we were just going to be doing a little bit of a replacement here. But what we were going to be doing is replacing this sewer up through here that had some challenges to it. So Mr. Mooney's properties are all down here. You know, we can just tie those into this existing line. It's not that big of a deal. But again, you should be paying, you know, sack and black charges for the stuff that exists in there. But it wasn't redoing all of the sanitary sewer out here. That's why under that assessment, you know, we only had about 10 sewer assessments and more street assessments, right? you know, and I think we talked about this, it's like, well, we don't need pavement, let's just pull that out of this. And we could do that out of this whole project that's kind of pennies on the dollar. I mean, it is a cost, but I think we looked at that maybe as a, and I forget those numbers, but
it was relatively minor.
Relatively minor compared to everything else in the.
So I guess what we're saying, Mr. Mooney, is we'd like to work with you. We'd like to see development in town, but we don't want to see the general population pick up the bill, nor do we want to see a lot of costs shifted for your improvement onto neighboring properties. And so you've got to come to us with some sort of a proposal as to how you're going to reduce those assessments.
Well said. You will participate in that? You're available?
Yeah.
And I think we have Jason.
Yeah, definitely.
I think we have to get three or four people to look at, you know, this and this and this options and what might make sense or not. And I've assumed that's going to happen all along.
Well,
and it has to happen quickly.
It does because we've got until the end of July to
award the contract.
I think it has to happen quickly, too.
Yep. Isn't that the reason for this meeting? Determine how you're going to split it up. Well, there's 10 residents living there. There's 10 more families driving on that road when you got a new road. Each family has two cars. That's 20 more cars.
I guess to answer your question, I thought the meeting was to determine that.
Yeah. Well, let's get it out. How do you think it would be fair?
If you think I have a formula to give you right now, I don't.
You're a developer. You must have some idea.
Hey, reinforcement won't be satisfied. We didn't ask for this. We were perfectly happy the way it is. We all love it back there. We love it. What you're designing or want to do in there does not fit the neighborhood at all.
Good.
It'll be horrible.
Yeah, and I'm not going to get into a debate.
If you have another way of getting it in there, then do that.
Okay.
I don't want to face a $90,000 assessment.
Let's take a break.
Okay, we got another guy who wants to talk.
Pick Pongers, to your circle. Is anybody planning on doing a special benefit analysis on this? Or?
At this point, I don't think the city wants to spend any money. I've got a position on it.
City's not going to kick in for this at all?
Until we get some details, the city isn't going to kick in anything.
Traditionally, I don't believe the city has, have we?
At some point in time, if we get a little more realistic in what the numbers are, there may be some discussion. It's not unheard of for a city to kick in some cost sharing. Deferred assessments are always a possibility. But until I hear some more details, you know, we're not going to go down that line.
I understand that there's some details we worked out and whatnot, but after doing some reading and talking to some of my coworkers, sounds to be like, according to this statute, that the city can't assess people for any more than the value increase to the property.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. So where's $44,000 coming from? There's no way that's adding to our property $44,000.
I would 100% agree, and I think that was the very first thing that I said. That there is no way that the city can assess you guys between $30,000 and $40,000, some of you times three and four.
I understood the reasoning behind that.
And the only way that we get that number down is Mr. Mooney is going to have to contribute some to the project, and rightfully should, because this is his car. He's in the driver's seat. Because otherwise, this project doesn't happen.
Teresa, can you answer for us in the past and for the public, has the city paid for all or parts of projects like this in the past?
So the city pretty much follows its assessment policy. So if we are upsizing infrastructure for our future expansion, then the city picks up the upsizing cost.
Okay.
So if you were doing water and sewer, and what's recommended to service that area may be whatever, a 6-inch or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the city is looking at future development down the road. Maybe there's, you know, 100 acres down the road that we're looking at taking in. We would upsize that in order to accommodate that.
Okay.
That is not paid by the people who are being assessed for that portion.
Mm-hmm.
That becomes a city portion. Mm-hmm. So we do that. We have done projects that are reconstruction.
Mm-hmm.
And under reconstruction, the city picks up 20% of the road, but not on new construction.
Okay.
So there hasn't been anything unless there is some outside funding sources that come into play.
Sure.
So that's my knowledge and recollection of the time I've been here, how it's worked. I couldn't give you a case-by-case basis. I have to go back and look at that. But
sure. Recent memory serves, we kind of ran into this with the county Cartway development ideas also, and it was, again, very expensive, and because it was all new infrastructure, the city wasn't, at that point, going to pay for that. We were going to pay for the upsizing of the lines that we've...
I think in order to make this project go, we're going to have to enter into some sort of a developer's agreement with Mr. Mooney, whereby we essentially tie, to some extent, these two projects together to bring those assessments down for the residents. Now, if we do that, then it's not as if Mr. Mooney is fronting those costs, or at least some of those costs. It would be the city carrying those in the form of more than likely deferred assessments, meaning we don't collect the money until Mr. Mooney sells a parcel.
Can I speak for a minute, please? I'm Mark Hoffman. I bought that property next to where Mr. Mooney's asking to do development. And as Nick just pointed out, assessments due to increased property values. I can tell you from my point of view of buying that property, turning this into a paved street will reduce the property values. I bought that property solely because of the rural nature of that road, the rural nature of the property, and that it was in the center of Waterville being that road. And if you're going to do this as part of a project that's going to include development as part of the reasoning behind it, you need to also look at then what will that development do to the property values. Because you'll be doubling the number of units on that street and destroying the rural nature of that property. It will not be the same neighborhood at all, and values will decrease because of that.
And the river.
I
want to add to what Mark said. I'm Matt. I'm Mark's brother. And you guys are like all talking about the wrong side of the street. Look at what's going to happen to the water. Because that land, those lots, flood almost all the way up to Cedar Circle this spring. They flood almost all the way up there. And he's looking at building places that flooded this year and flooded last year too when we moved in here. So I mean, it will destroy the waterfront on that side.
Mr. Mooney, these parcels are the twin homes that you're going to build back there, proposing to build back there, are they going to be for rent or for sale?
Again, everything's concept, but the concept is sale.
I need some sort of an answer, because it could change how things happen here, as whether okay. They're for sale or for rent.
Did you hear me say sale?
Okay.
Okay.
Mr. Mooney.
Yep.
Is it safe for me to say that you have three lots there and you're thinking that you're going to be assessed one time for each lot through this? Is that what you're thinking that we're going to do?
I don't want to get into a long debate or anything, but...
Let me
tell you what's been explained to me. Every lot in this circle is zoned R2. Every lot in this circle... Whoever owns that lot, any time now or even 20 years from now, if it's zoned R2, they can build up to 4 units on each lot.
Or they can choose not to do anything.
Or they can do nothing. And that's what drives the assessments, as it's been explained to me. So
how? We can't predict what the weather's going to be tomorrow, much less what somebody's going to do with the property 10, 15, 20 years. I mean, we can't assess somebody one unit, four units, on the theory that they might, in 25 years, develop that.
Well, the lawyers that have explained all this to me say that's exactly how you're supposed to assess.
Well, you got bad advice.
Okay, that's why I'm having them talk to you when we get this shindig together.
Yeah. I mean, we just can't do that. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, much less 5 years from now. We just don't.
So if your attorney is talking about a lot that is larger than a normal buildable lot, then that's when the city will preemptively put in or stub in another unit because it has the availability to be developed. And we don't want everybody digging into the road to connect back in. So then, right. In that instance, if you had a large lot and we deemed that it was four buildable lots, we would figure in four stub-ins for that lot, one of which would be utilized by your structure, and the other three are typically green acres deferred or undeveloped deferred, if that's what he's referring to.
And that might be.
I don't know. I mean, I think I could do the concept we're talking about with three stubs.
The 10?
I don't think the number of stubs is the issue.
Are you talking the 10 units?
If the homeowner association owned the water and owned the stubs and what you do from there, you know, I live in a place that does that right now.
Are you talking the 10?
Well, whatever the number is, that I'm just saying you can have multiple units, use one stub.
Okay.
If you're willing to share the ownership of the water bill, et cetera. But that, none of that matters. We just have to talk about what makes sense or not.
The bottom line is going to be, how much are you going to kick in to bring the assessments down? I mean, that's what it is we're going to get right down.
Understood. What complicates it is there are there's other ways to get the water or the sewer, so yeah. And those are cheaper, so then it's like, well, at what point is it worth spending more money to do it this way versus another way? Yeah. And I don't know the answers to that, but that's the equation that has to be looked at.
Sure. I get it.
Can you explain to me how, you know, we assess something, but when the project is done, who pays for that? The city pays? The contractor and then waits over a period of years to collect this back?
Yes, that's exactly what happens. What essentially happens is city bonds, takes out a loan, so to speak. We pay the interest on it. That money goes to the general contractor. General contractor gets paid, but it's the city who holds the bond. So when you get your debt statements every year, that'll show up as the amount that's owed. And then those assessments are placed on each parcel, depending on how many you divide up the kitty. And then at that point in time, those assessments kind of sit there in limbo. They're deferred. And they don't get paid until, if you guys go along with this, they don't get paid until he sells a parcel. And then that money is paid back to the city and you recapture it that way.
Does interest accrue it on does. The deferred?
Yep. Interest would continue to accrue.
So where does the city get the money? You said they bond. We have to bond for it? That we have to levy for the bond?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So that's, Jennifer, one thing is that's no different than any vacant lot that we've ever serviced before. They can choose to pay their assessment up front, even mm-hmm. if it's vacant, or they can choose to put in for a deferred assessment. So just about a lot of our projects have vacant lots, you know, when we were working with them, and they have the option to apply for that. It's not a given. They have the right to apply for it. But it would be, so if you're talking in this area, there would be the two lots towards the lakeside that are undeveloped.
Yep.
You have two vacant lots there that would be eligible for I'll call it green acres deferment because that's what I've always referred to it as. So any lot on that property that would be like that would be eligible for that. So my understanding that if there is a structure on it, it would not be eligible for that, but that would be something that Jason would
need
to do.
You're correct.
So if there is a shed on that lot right now, then it's improved property, so it would be assessed. Mm-hmm. Does that help or make it worse?
But we have to, when we do a bond, then we have to levy for that bond.
You're fronting the money.
And you get paid for it eventually.
Eventually.
Yeah. If they sell the property or develop it. But yeah, if they didn't develop, say you were going to do your assessments for 10 years and your bond for 10 years, and they didn't develop until you're 20, then you're holding that amount, yet the city is paying that amount, and then it gets paid back at that time. So you've totally satisfied your debt service at that point by either rate increases, levy, the different functions that are going in to pay that.
But if I understand correctly, that property can never change hands until that's paid off. That's
correct.
Right? So the city's protected because nobody can ever buy it without paying that, whatever is still owed.
Is there a term limit that can be placed on it, Jason?
Yes, you can.
Deferred,
you can, but the reality is if you put a 10-year deferral on it and you get into year 9 and it's not paid, the developer then is going to request another 10 years and you're hard-pressed to say no. Or do you take it back, taxes and that sort of thing?
I'm just talking in general of a vacant lot, just any individual vacant lot that they would be doing the Green Acres. If, when they entertain the application for that, if they could say that, for instance, if it's your Green Acres, 10, 15 years upon that time, your assessments will be applied or made
due.
Payable.
Made due.
Yeah.
What about bankruptcy?
There are some legal theories that we could try to employ to reassess in that sort of situation. There's a distinct possibility you don't get paid. And
it happened in the past.
I have seen that. It happened in Elysian about 15 years ago. And
happened in Janesville 15 years ago.
It was not a pretty sight, but the end result is that you may not get paid.
Jason Femright, just as a theoretical here, if we were to not go through this project and Mr. Mooney decides he's going to build back there, you guys opt to punch in a water line from Herbert Street or wherever it is you're going to bring it in, you're saying the sewer line out there would need some upgrades, or at least lining probably to handle the extra load at that point, or no?
No.
At all?
So that...
You're saying, yeah, no, I understand it.
So this sewer is the outlet here. So these are the new service lines. This is the line here that has some challenges. So we're looking at redoing that line.
Yep.
If we were to just do Mr. Mooney's, you know, you're looking some potential repairs within this general vicinity to connect to this. This was in relatively good condition. Size is definitely adequate for this.
Is that road going to be able to handle the extra traffic without being... there's a reason I'm asking.
Yeah, well, I know the road has challenges, right? You know, there's frost boils and stuff out there. Mm-hmm. Cars aren't really the issue. It's more garbage trucks. You know, trucks are you know, detriment to roads.
Okay.
Should that road, you know, see 20 more cars a day, is it going to, you know, there's could be some washboarding, and a little bit more maintenance, but as far as impact to it,
should
be minimal. Construction of all of those with the concrete trucks and things like that, you know, they may have to put on some fresh gravel on it. It's a gravel road, right? You know, beef it up a little bit.
Well, everything I'm hearing says the residents out there are not the ones pushing for this project. And I would have a hard time as a resident swallowing that kind of a bill, much less as a council member, pushing that sort of a bill off onto each individual resident or parcel out there, especially considering some of them are multiple units. I know I went through this when we did it, when we put water and sewer out around the lagoons area, and it was not cheap then, but it was nowhere near this. So I guess my thought here is we scrap this project and Mr. Mooney goes through and talks with you guys about bringing services in on his own. And then if there are incurred costs for road maintenance or, you know, anything that has to be done with the sewer, that gets paid by him at that point, rather than the residents out there. But those are my thoughts.
Were there any other requests to put any more structures out there? Build, construct any other places other than that corner?
That's the only thing we have active right now.
But the lines wouldn't really handle another one anyway? You know, if somebody else wanted to build another...
Yeah, I mean, this is a... What we would be putting out here, the 6-inch water main, is enough to develop any of these lots that are out there.
No, I mean, as it is now.
As it is now. When they did the study, we have a resolution that says one more connection. Mm-hmm. That is allowable because of the concern of the water.
Okay.
So only one more out there.
Right.
But I will caution those of you who live out there, if you've got literally one more connection available, and then we're going to be looking at doing this project, so we don't want to have to shove it down your throats, but if three of you out there right now today said we're building houses out here, we're building cabins, we're building whatever that's going to require water and sewer, sorry, we're not going to have much of a choice.
We have to deny the permit.
Right. So, we said this before, too. You know, it's expensive, but it's not going to get any cheaper either. You know, if there's development that happens out there, I'm afraid we're probably going to have to look at doing the project at some point. I don't want to do this and pass along these costs either, but it may be a hard reality at some point if you get multiples of you out there that look at developing, just so you're aware.
If they did not do the street for paving, how much would that take off?
I looked at that last before. I mean, we're talking $1,000 or $2,000 a piece.
Well, that's all.
It wasn't a lot. It's mainly the frosting on top of the cake. You still got a lot of cake.
Oh, because you got to do all the base and all that kind of stuff. That's what costs.
Yeah. And the poor soil is out there excavating and
every lot in there is a buildable lot. I don't understand why the assessments don't get charged for every lot that's in there. I mean, some get water, some get sewer, some get this, some get that. Hey, they built in Glen Ellen Edition, or Glen Ellen, that's one up in the city, sorry. Cedar Circle, right? In that addition. Okay, every lot in there is buildable. Assess every lot accordingly.
We wouldn't.
Well, according to Jason, you know, he's got the lot that Geyer's bought right behind his house there. There's only... water and street, okay? It should be water, street, and sewer.
If they have existing service in there now, we're only upgrading their service. We're not putting in new.
Yeah, this sewer exists right here, so that's why we're not doing that. So he already has that. He shouldn't be paying for something that is already there, and we're not changing that.
My sewer works fine in front of my place. Why are you changing that? I mean, you know, I mean...
Where, I don't know where it is
your
place.
It's all part of a project, you know? So, like Geyer's, he's just getting charged for water and street, right? Lot 14 there?
Yeah, but he doesn't get water off of there either.
his house ain't included in on Cedar Circle development. That his house is a Herbert address. The lot behind him is part of Cedar Circle Edition. That's lot 14. And then in the middle there where Sue's at, theoretically there's three lots there. Her house sits in lot 2, her gazebo sits in lot 1, and then the garage is partially on lot on number 1 there, right in the middle. And there's still, you know, years down the road, them are still buildable lots. No matter how you look at it, that's how it was developed. I'm just not getting the big picture. If it was developed with 17 lots, divided up 17 ways. If not, then you pay by the foot, you know, and then Sue's got 1,300 feet around the inner circle that she would have to pay for, you know, like if it was curb and gutter and the pavement, that's 1,300 feet. I mean, you just can't pick and choose who gets what in the whole process. You gotta divide it up equally on how it was developed, cut and dry. And if it was done that way, and then he would pick up his share, you know, because obviously there's going to be more traffic and whatever. His should be a little more heavy. And it would get it down to a reasonable price.
Let me ask you guys this. Let me ask.
I don't know if it's going to get it down to a reasonable price or not.
Let me ask.
But it would get it into.
It would be better than $40,000.
Excuse me.
$32,000.
Let me ask the residents of Cedar Circle out there this question. What type of assessment or what dollar amount of an assessment would make this a palatable project for you? Throw out a number. So we have something to aim for.
The special assessment cannot exceed the amount.
I'm not asking that. I'm asking for a dollar amount.
Whatever the special benefit analysis comes up with for a number. Okay.
And they're going to appeal the assessment if you don't move forward with the project.
I'm sorry, I can't give that number either because I'm against it in general because it's going to ruin my property value. It's not an improvement as far as I'm concerned. That's why
water and sewer would be an improvement.
I already have that, and the neighborhood is already the way it is a certain type of neighborhood that if you change it, the values are going to be improved.
We're not going to get anywhere at this, so I can't see any way that we're going to come out with any sort of a formula tonight. I'm going to move that we either table this or deny it entirely.
We're up against some pretty hefty timelines. We got to make a decision as to whether to move forward with the project at the end of July. We've got all kinds of missing information and intangibles.
What's the rest of the council's feeling on this?
I think from what Jason showed that Mr. Mooney should tap into the system from his property. And the thing is that he's bearing that cost, and the thing is that the project goes forward and gets done. You know, you can't keep sitting with undeveloped property. Why these other people don't develop the property, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. But the thing is, we got somebody who wants to add new homes to this.
I need to say something about that real quick, please. When you ask Mr. Moody if it was going to be for rent or for sale, and you said it was going to be for sale, are you going to sell each unit individually, or are you going to sell that to a rental company?
No, I have no thoughts about rental at all. It's
right, so, I mean, but what are your plans for selling it? Are you going to sell
individual.
It? Individual. How long have you been trying to sell that property? And you're going to sell 10 individual units there? Or are you going to sell it to a rental company who's then going to come in and then just rent the units?
I already answered your question, but the second part is a definite no. I have no intention of selling any rental company or renters. This is about ownership.
Aren't the one at some point we're going to have to provide water to those properties and sewer?
Yep.
We're going to have to at some point, right?
Some point, if they're developed.
That's what I'm saying. It's a rock and a hard place. This is a bitter pill to swallow, but at some point, I see this project needing to go through out there, whether it's with these current residents or in the future, somebody buys and another one of these lots or two of these lots or three of these lots get developed. So, like I said before, it wasn't going to get any cheaper the last time. It certainly didn't, you know. So, I would certainly like more support for the project from the current residents out there because they're, you know, adding extra units out there is going to put a significant burden on the financial burden on the existing property owners that are getting by out there, but that could happen if any one of them were to sell and develop, you know, more than one property out there at this point.
So it's about 3,800 if there's 14 developable properties would reduce to remove the pavement.
Mm-hmm.
3,800 to remove the pavement.
So at that point in time, you don't pressure just keep paying them in. Mm-hmm.
That was the thought, is maybe eliminate take this opportunity to do that.
Road, you've got curb gutter and
dust coating out there every year, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Well, plus you've got the labor of the guys and the equipment and fuel to maintain the road.
And at the end of the day, the whole thing comes down to, what is Mr. Mooney going to kick in? That's exactly where we're at, and
well, that was the purpose of the meeting.
Is Waterville considered a home rule charter city?
No, we're statutory.
You're statutory?
Yep.
Then I don't understand the process here. When I said it was requesting a benefit analysis, the statute's pretty clear on this. Whatever the property values increase on our part, so say we do this project and it increases my property value by a standard assessment would be maybe $7,000 to $10,000 at the high end, then that's what the city can charge, and the city has to pick up the rest of the financial burden. You can't just hammer people for $20,000, $30,000, $40,000. That's why I requested a benefit analysis, and I'd like to see those numbers. If we're not a charter city, then we're applicable to that state statute.
Yeah, that's the law.
Thank you.
Again, it gets down to what Mr. Mooney is willing to kick in.
Yeah. Well, we should talk. What complicates this is the cheapest way for me to do what I want is to not do this and to go, just go get water, hook up to the sewer, and in the short run, that can achieve what I want. But in the long run, it doesn't solve any of your issues around the block. And even if, you know, I kind of want to ask people, if we just pave the bottom street they had on the map there, that could solve my issues, but then that leaves two-thirds of the block that has no blacktop. And is that really a good answer or not?
The blacktop isn't the issue. It's the underlying infrastructure.
If we end up going in there and replacing just water line, if we end up doing that at some point, and it's still gravel, we replace that water line, is that all assessed, or is that cost to the city?
No, it would be assessed.
So then, we go through and we do that, whatever, 2 years from now, that sewer,
whenever.
That's going to be assessed too. So we're still going to have a gravel road, and we're going to be in there working on it all the time. Because we have to provide that water, right?
No. I mean, they have their current infrastructure that they're using. If that fails, I mean, then they're going to have to, then we'd have to rebuild it.
Some of them back there are on wells.
Yeah.
They're all on sewer, but some are back there on their own wells.
No, there's not a one back there on
no
the
wells. No.
Everybody's hooked up.
Everybody's hooked up to the 2-inch, I guess.
Oh, they are. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't want to pay for it.
Yeah.
But he does have an option of doing it into the sewer line. So.
I mean, there's options out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I definitely think we should sit down and look at what are the possibilities.
The options are work with this to get these numbers lower with some cost participation. Right. And if you're not going to do that, then the other option is you come up with another plan.
Do we have realistically, do we have enough time to have those conversations to bring that number down, bring it back to council?
We have to award this project July 31st.
We're talking light speed, and I don't know how that...
Yeah, I mean, we still have to do the final assessment hearing. This is just discussion for you. We would want to hold that, right, from the city's... best interest, we'd want to hold that final assessment hearing.
And that's got
to
be held before...
Before we would award it. I would not award it prior to that. I wouldn't recommend that. Jason wouldn't either. No, absolutely not. So, and then, you know, that's the opportunity for, you know, the property owners to come in, be heard, potentially file an appeal to those assessments if they don't feel they're appropriate. Mm-hmm. And then we would go through that process. But then that's the information you would have before you would award the project.
Right.
And, yeah, we are... time is
I just don't see that as a realistic time frame. Because there's at least two council meetings to happen, aside from if they were to meet tomorrow and say these are the numbers we can come up with, we've got a holiday and two more council meetings before we can approve the bids.
Correct.
Or should approve the bids.
Correct.
In 30 days. So I don't see it happening.
So we reject this bid? Is that what the goal is now? We have to just...
If that's what you wish to do,
and then eventually you'll have to go through the whole process again.
We would pull out Herbert Street and bid that project
separately,
and get a contractor to get that done here this fall or next spring. We'll see what the timing is, but I don't want to bid this project a third time. I mean, we're being unfair to contractors. I don't want Waterville to get a bad rap that we just bid projects and then don't award them.
Yeah.
This project it has a challenge. Hopefully the contractors realize that.
Wet dig and all that kind of stuff, they figured.
I mean, just...
is what I heard.
Well, it's going to be flat. That's why it costs what it costs.
Yeah.
I will say this. If this comes back up again, as far as the Cedar Circle improvements, I'm not even going to look at it unless there is a fully signed petition by the residents out there. Because we've done this now twice. We spent hours and months and thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars probably by now, just looking at it. And I understand that there are a lot of current residents out there, but eventually those properties are going to get sold at some point. So, but I'm not going to go through this again unless there's a petition signed. So... I'm going to move that we shut this project down and let Mr. Mooney speak to the city about moving his own lines in and taking care of his project.
That's your motion?
That's my motion.
I'll second. The added copy. If he goes through with 10 residents in there, the added traffic to Cedar Circle is...
That'll be an individual thing that we'll have to deal with at that point. So we've got a motion and a second.
It's just like this meeting. We're supposed to deal with it.
There's a motion and a second on the floor. Conversation's over.
Anything accomplished.
All in favor? The motion?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Get him to do it the other way. I think that's the best thing to do.
Okay. Thank you for the input. Jason, again, thank you for your time on that. Yeah. I appreciate it. I know you get paid for it, but it is a lot of work.
I want to get paid for work that we do.
We've been trying. We've tried, and we're running into roadblocks. What else you do?
We have no motion. Folks, hey, we're still in session here.
Sorry.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that we adjourn.
No, we can't.
Hydrology.
That's a hydrology study.
I don't want you to adjourn yet.
My apologies. Okay.
So I'll give you a little background. The county has taken over the efforts in order to obtain the rest of the funding required to complete the hydrology study that we were had started. And they are looking at applying for a flood mitigation grant. From the discussions that I had with Holly at the county today, the likelihood of them getting awarded the grant to complete the hydrology study is very probable. It's a good project for funding. The amount being requested is something that they feel has a high likelihood of getting funded. So in the process of being able to apply for the flood mitigation grant, they're requesting support by the cities, and then they also have to come up with a matching grant of approximately $100,000. So what they're doing is they're going to all of the entities, both townships, county levels. They went, conducted a meeting with a bunch of the entities to see if they wanted to pursue with trying to get the money. So what the hydrology study would finish up would come to the point where we could have all of the modeling done, and we would be able to now start looking at what options are available to reduce flood risk and so on in the city, well, throughout the watershed. So I lost my train of thought, I'm sorry. So anyway, they're looking at what it will do. And what they're requesting is, and what I would like for us to consider is a formal letter of support of the project. And then also, since the city of Waterville has about the most to gain, in my opinion, as far as flood mitigation, I would like to see the city do a financial contribution pledge of $20,000. If you wish to do more, you could. But I think in the long run, the $20,000 that we put into this study in order to get further granting for mitigation projects, actual upland storage and those kinds of things, is going to be a drop in the bucket compared to what we'd be paying to continue to fight the floods down here, along with the flood damages that we've incurred. So I think by putting a financial amount along with it, and then we would be doing some in-kind too where we could. But I think it gives a good emphasis on, the city of Waterville wants to support the project.
Is this, when I look through this, I know they talked about the county plan, but are they talking about including the One Watershed, One Plan in this?
So this is the same project that we started that had a snafu when it came to the funding.
Right.
So what they're doing is taking where we left off and we were able to get funded. They're taken from that and then taking it to the completion.
Essentially finishing the project.
Right.
Okay.
We had additional funding requests at the state again.
Mm-hmm.
I was very disappointed that originally it was on the governor's desk to be signed for us to obtain the rest of our funding. and he chose not to sign anything. So then we were back in the gamut of trying to work through committees and everything else to get everything straightened out. It was submitted to committee and it was never even heard. So we would have to look at trying to go through that process again. And who knows if it would get funded again.
No,
so the first round that we tried, they denied. The second round, they awarded. But then there was something with the date as far as what the grant was done and what the funding said.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to put a halt on it and spend whatever we could at that point.
Sure.
So this is just finishing up that piece. And then with the result of this, then this has been a priority with One Watershed, One Plan also, mm-hmm. along with additional projects in the One Watershed, One Plan.
Sure.
So along with this, they can get some state funding and other things that they can apply for, but you have to have the study in order to, you know, state your case.
Right.
They're not going to look at anything that's not, you know, studied and scientific data. It's not going to go, well, this place flooded and so yeah. we need to do this.
Yeah.
They want to know how everything is going to be doing. Part of the study is to look at lake level management
mm-hmm.
to see what kind of impact that may or may not have. And then the other part that they're looking at is upland storage. And there's a piece of that that could also, from my understanding, come into play with water quality. But there's some modeling I understand that the county can kind of work with as far as water quality. But so that's kind of the gist of the grant proposal. Her deadline to submit is the 13th, I believe, to submit. Our council meeting was the 11th and would not give her enough time to, you know, put the figures in and do everything they need.
Sure.
But without the study, nothing's going to happen.
So do they need a resolution in support of them?
No.
Or just a letter?
So what you can do is just direct me to do a letter of support for the project and a financial contribution or X dollar amounts for a pledge if the grant is awarded.
So does this, are you still on the project?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You still work with the project and continue on?
We would, yes, okay. If this gets funded. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so we've
everything that
we had this
done
project,
so far.
We've done this amount, and then we paused. We still have this amount to do. This would just get
it
things
would still
back,
continue with
pick,
what you were going,
up,
not
back
somebody
up
else starting over.
Nope,
right
it's Roberta, the same person.
Mm-hmm.
Yep,
oh,
yep. She's
okay.
waiting, and we'll get moving again.
And where do we get the $20,000?
So my thought is to try to do something with American Rescue Fund monies. Mm-hmm. We have about $73,000 after you consider the proposal from the fire department for radios. We do have some outstanding costs as far as the fire hall, as far as the floor, correct?
Which is not
Yeah, they did it.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. So
well,
we'll have some costs involved
yeah.
in that will still come out of this
$73,000. Okay.
You can use American Rescue monies in ways that we can be a little more creative.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use it to pay, for instance, we can use it to write off public safety wages. So we can utilize that, but then take our budget savings from that to apply the donation to that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's ways that we can creatively move money around
mm-hmm.
and still be, you know, within the legal terms. So that's where I am suggesting that we would look at budging the $20,000. If the grant's awarded, then we would make those changes with the American Rescue Fund money in order to fund that.
It sounds like a great
yeah.
thing for us.
Yeah.
For a $20,000 contribution toward this and supporting it, it's going to finish up that project that we lost funding for, literally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need to protect Waterville from the flooding. We've got this.
I certainly would support it, so I would make a motion that we approve it with the letter of support with the $20,000 contribution.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
We don't do these things. One day this whole thing is going to be underwater.
Yep.
Good question, though, Jim. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that consideration.
Yeah, not a problem.
It's got to be done.
Yep.
I think, you know, as it gets funded, now, you know, they can look for what solutions might happen. But we can't, in my opinion, we can't just do one part of the study and say, okay, we're going to only look at lake manipulation.
Exactly.
Or we're just going to look at upland storage. Because you submit any type of a grant for that, they're going to say, well, yep. Did you look at
right.
this?
Right.
And now we have all of our ducks in a row. We've done what we needed to do. And now we can sell our product.
That's the old way out is you got to spend money to make money.
Yeah.
Something like that. Mm-hmm.
And this is something that's highly endorsed by the whole water
system
and the community. So.
In the legislature?
That was disappointing at best.
They were proposing this.
Correct. As soon as we found out that we were not getting any funding, the county said, hey, let's help you with this and we'll work on this on our end.
I can touch base on it. So.
Thank you.
In your packet tonight is a proposed ordinance that we'll be taking a look at in July's meeting. Basically, it touches on some Jeff DeFrance's concerns about having too many liquor licenses in town. Statutorily, for on sale, you're capped at 4, your statutory city. Off sale, sky's the limit. There is no cap on that. You guys can choose or choose not to set a cap. This proposed ordinance would cap it at the number that we have now.
We need that.
Can I?
We need it, yeah.
But we'll discuss that in greater detail in July.
We could deny that.
You could.
Because of the fact that there's only one there.
Correct.
In that same building.
You would have gotten something you would have lost.
Yes.
And then you would have paid their attorney's fees. No, you would have.
Yeah.
Given that, my apologies for the stutter start, but I will move that we adjourn.
That's second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Sorry about that, Bill.